This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Welcome into the program. Happy Wednesday to you. And, well, happy Wednesday to everybody but the computer. I knew there was going to be trouble when America in the Morning said it was 5, telling it was 7, too. I was like, oh, what'd you do here? So thanks, John Trout and everybody over there. Is that it, John? I don't know. But I enjoy that program a lot. I like listening to it in the morning when I'm getting ready to come in here, but I don't know, threw everything off today. But that's all right. We are here with you at 508-996-0500. We have the app chat open for you. We have open line voicemails available to you. And we also have, of course, the Money Talks contest going on today. And we went through another day without anybody sending the codes via app chat. So I think everybody's got it figured out now. Everybody knows where to send those codes. By the way, thank you all to playing, because, you know, we can tell how many people are entering, and we can tell how many people are actually playing and how many people are actually putting in the codes. And wow, I'm blown away by how many of you are not only taking part in this contest, but also listening to WBSM throughout the course of the day to be able to hear all these codes. So thank you to all of you for your continued listening. We appreciate it. Even though sometimes I know I drive some of you crazy. And likewise, I know some of our other hosts drive other members of the audience crazy. But you stick with us all day and we appreciate that. I saw this story just as I was getting ready to come on the air here, an Associated Press story that says, remember that Ocean Gate Titan sub that went down, tried to go down to the Titanic and ended up not making it and everybody died? The headline of this AP story is, Ocean Gate's former operations director says the Titan sub tragedy could have been prevented. Yeah, by not going down there. But they did say the sub had been labeled unsafe prior to its last fatal voyage. And that if the Federal Safety Agency had investigated the complaint by the person who said that it was unsafe, they could have prevented the tragedy. And I guess this person, he said, I believe if OSHA had attempted to investigate the seriousness of the concerns I raised on multiple occasions, this tragedy may have been prevented, said David Lockridge, Ocean Gate's former operations director. As a seafarer, I feel deeply disappointed by the system that is meant to protect not only seafarers, but the general public as well. Lockridge said that 8 months after he filed an OSHA complaint, a caseworker told him the agency had not begun investigating it yet, and there were 11 cases ahead of his. And by then, OceanGate was suing Lockridge, and he had filed a countersuit against them. But then 10 months after he filed the complaint, he decided to walk away. The case was closed, and both lawsuits were dropped. I mean, I wonder if David Lockridge here feels like he did everything that he could. You know, is his conscience clear in this? Because as it says there, he walked away from the complaint. But I also think, too, that, you know, there's only so much you can do. Now, throughout the course of the week and last week as well, unfortunately, we have been talking about local cases where threats have been made against schools that have all been deemed not credible. Basically hoaxes, basically pranks. And the schools have been the ones handling the punishment. Now, it didn't necessarily say that in the Bridgewater and Raynham cases last week, but in a lot of these cases, that's what it says. It says that disciplinary action will be handled by the schools. Well, there was another incident. This time, instead of a student threatening the school, the student actually threatened the police department. WCVB reports this morning that police in Billerica say they're investigating an online threat made by a student against the police department. Billerica Police Chief Roy Frost said the threat was made against the department on Monday night. At about 9 p.m., Billerica police were notified by Billerica Public Schools of a threat made on social media against the police department. And they investigated it and determined it was a student at Billerica Memorial High School. It was quickly determined that there was no danger to the public or the department, and the threat was deemed not credible, police said. But at this time, no charges or citations have been filed, and all disciplinary actions will be determined by Billerica Public Schools. Now, the department is going to work with the school department to determine subsequent action needed to take to appropriately address the student's behavior, according to police. So there may be more punishment down the road for this high school student, but this is what really kind of confuses me a little bit. And I see this happen from time to time in some of these stories. So police were notified at 9 p.m. Monday night by Billerica Public Schools of a threat made on social media against the police department. Was this threat made while the student was in school? Was it made during school hours? Was it made on school equipment? Did he go online with a school-issued Chromebook or tablet and make this threat? Those details aren't in there. Because my question here is, what does the school have to do with it if it didn't happen in school? If it didn't happen on school equipment? And we've seen other cases before where schools have handed out discipline to students for something that they did outside of school. And this kid is, if he really did do this, obviously he was very wrong to do so. But at the same time, if I did something at home and I showed up to school and school was like, well, you're suspended because you did this, I'd say, what? You don't have that authority. Because what does the school have for an authority here? That's why I think it had to have been something that was either started when he was in school or was using school issued equipment to be online. But it also says on social media, and a lot of times those school issued Chromebooks and tablets, they block social media. So I don't know. I need some more information here. But another case of a student acting stupidly in the wake of the Georgia school shooting less than a month ago. 2 weeks ago. So, again, I go back to there needs to be more punishment than just what the school can do. And it sounds like in this case, there's at least a possibility of that. So we'll try to keep an eye on that and let you know what else happens. But that's just another incident. We also heard the story that Phil shared with you in the news this morning that some local school districts, as well as other districts across the state, are named in a lawsuit by the Moms for Liberty organization over the implementation of the new federal rules for Title IX. New Bedford Light has a very in-depth piece on that, if you'd like to read it. But basically saying the Massachusetts state law already protects the same and offers the same statutes and protections that are in this new federal policy. So it's kind of a moot point. But Moms for Liberty, which is a conservative organization, is challenging the district's ability to do so. Also, if you go to southcoasttoday.com and read that story, they have the reporting that Fairhaven just adopted those new Title IX policies in a school committee meeting. So maybe they get added to this lawsuit. The story by Colin Hogan at New Bedford Light talks about how there may be more school districts and towns added to that lawsuit. So you can check that out as well. We also have, if you go to WBSM.com, and you know, it's not always about the hard news, as I like to point out. We like to tell good local stories. And you can always reach out to us if you have a good local story. Something of interest. Something that, you know, could maybe make somebody's day a little bit better for reading it too. Because when you hear the news, you're going to get depressed. You're going to get upset. You're going to get angry. You're going to feel frustrated. So we like to have a balance and give you some stories that are positive, uplifting. And one that we had yesterday, Ariel has the story on the website and on the app, about an Attleboro boy who got to be in the new Beetlejuice film, which is a domestic juggernaut. It's doing very well in the U.S. box office. It's not doing so well overseas, but they've already tripled what it cost to make the film. However, an interesting note that I read this morning on Yahoo News was that originally the plan for this film was to make it streaming only on Max. They wanted to make Beetlejuice a streaming only on the Max platform because they said that'll be something that will get a lot of people to sign up for the platform. And Tim Burton, the director, did not want it to be streaming only. He wanted it to be in the theater because he makes movies for, you know, cinematic release. That's his visual style, bodes well on the big screen. And so in order to make it so that it went to theaters, they said, well, then it has to be under $100 million for the budget. And so the movie came in at $99 million because they negotiated with the talent, with Michael Keaton, Jenna Ortega, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, the four main stars. They negotiated with all of them to not get paid up front, well, to get, you know, smaller amounts up front and then to make more money on the back end. So they do this a lot in Hollywood, especially with actors who have passion projects. They really want to make a movie, but the studios are reluctant to put money behind it. So they say, hey, you know what? I won't take a salary for this. I'll just get it on the back end. I believe in it so well. I believe it'll be successful that I'll get a percentage of the profits that the movie makes rather than getting paid up front. And so that's what they did with this movie. So, you know, just an interesting side note about the film. But the main local story here is that there's a boy from Attleboro who actually is in the film. He has a very brief appearance, but it's in an important scene in the movie. And he gets some screen time. He was able to see himself up on the big screen in the movie theater. And that's pretty cool. And that's something that's happening more and more as more productions are coming here to film. In fact, this boy, who, this is the first time he's ever done this, but his brother has done it before. His name is Gavin Mazur. His brother's name is Mason Mazur. Gavin was first to the screen. You'll see Mason in the upcoming season of The Walking Dead, Dead City, that was filmed in Taunton. But as more of these productions come here to film, local people are getting the chance to be extras in these movies. And for some people, they get to do it multiple times. They get to say, well, I'm going to be in this film, I'm going to be in that film, and then I'm going to go down to this filming and see if I can get something for this one. And a lot of them actually sign on with casting agencies. So that when there are films coming here to film, they can take part. My dad's aunt and uncle used to do that back in the early days of movies coming to film in Boston. They were in Blown Away with Tommy Lee Jones and who else was in that? Kurt Russell. I think they were in a few others. They're just in, you know, mostly crowd shots, but they would go and they would spend the day. They were retired. They'd go spend the day. They'd get a box lunch for coming down. Didn't get paid, but that didn't matter. They just enjoyed the process of being there and seeing movies made. And if that's something that you're interested in, you're getting more and more opportunities to do it. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Going to take a break here. We will be right back. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the news in just a moment, but a programming note for you. Tomorrow, we will be joined by Gary Washburn, who covers the Boston Celtics for the Boston Globe. He's going to talk with us about his new book on the Celtics championship season last year. And then also on Friday morning, it's going to be kind of a pro wrestling day. Sorry for those of you who aren't pro wrestling fans, but we're going to have at 8:05 on Friday morning, we're going to have Teddy Goods, local wrestler and New Bedford entrepreneur, co-owner of Kojo's Toy World downtown. He is actually retiring. He's hanging up his boots. His final match is this weekend coming up. He's going to talk with us about that. But then before that, at 7:35 a.m., we are going to have one of the hottest tag teams in all Elite Wrestling, the Outrunners. They're going to be joining us to talk about the upcoming Collision show in Springfield on Saturday. And by the way, when Teddy Goods comes on Friday morning, he's bringing some tickets for us to give away. So actually, he's going to call us on the phone. But still, he's going to have some tickets to give away for you to be able to go and experience his last match. And maybe we can even get AEW to give us a pair of tickets to give away, too. All right. Right now, though, it's time to go into the news with our own heavyweight champion, Phil Devitt.
Trump makes his first public appearance since his second assassination attempt. Sean Diddy Combs denied bail in his sex trafficking case. And did Miley Cyrus steal a chart-topping hit?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump says his presidency was consequential.
Only consequential presidents get shot at, but what can you do? You have to do what you have to do, right? We have to be brave.
In his first public appearance since what's being called the second attempted assassination of him, Trump took part in a town hall event in Michigan, moderated by Arkansas Governor and his former White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. He went on to say that it's a dangerous business running for president. Also at the event, Trump went on to say he had a nice conversation with President Biden and received a, quote, very, very nice phone call from Vice President Harris following the incident on Sunday. The FBI and U.S. Postal Service are investigating mail containing a white powder sent to election offices in at least 17 states, including Massachusetts. Mark Mayfield reports.
ABC News reports none of the mail turned out to be hazardous, but some offices were evacuated because of the scare. In one instance, the substance ended up being flour. A law enforcement source told ABC News that at this point, none of the packages were believed to be hazardous. Election offices that received suspicious packages were in New York, Tennessee, Wyoming, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, Indiana, Massachusetts, and Colorado. There was also suspicious mail sent to offices in Arizona, Georgia, Connecticut, Maryland, and Maine, but that was intercepted before it reached its destination. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Sean Diddy Combs is being denied bail and will remain detained in connection to his federal criminal case. Combs pleaded not guilty in a New York court Tuesday after a grand jury indicted him on sex trafficking and racketeering charges. Prosecutors argued the hip-hop and business mogul is a flight risk and a danger to the public, saying he allegedly has a history of coercing witnesses. Google is working on satellite technology that will improve the detection of wildfires. The search giant investing in an artificial intelligence-powered enhancement to its camera network in space, allowing users to see fire activity on Google Maps. The company spending $13 million to improve current satellite imaging to pick up flames in an area as small as 16 square feet. The upgraded system is expected to be ready as soon as next year. Senator Bernie Sanders says generic drug makers could sell Ozempic for less than $100 a month. The Vermont Independent made the comment Tuesday, claiming he received confirmation from major generic pharmaceutical companies that they could sell cheap copycat versions of the popular diabetes and weight loss drug. Most Americans plan to get this year's flu shot, but not the new COVID-19 booster. In a new survey from the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, 56% said they'll get the flu shot. Only 43% said they'll get the COVID booster.
But then remembered I can buy myself flowers.
And Miley Cyrus is getting sued over her song Flowers with a music rights investment platform claiming she copied parts of a Bruno Mars single. According to Rolling Stone, Tempo Music Investments claims the Grammy-winning hit uses Bruno Mars' 2013 ballad When I Was Your Man. The lawsuit also blames several companies for distributing Flowers, including Sony Music Publishing, Apple, Target, and Walmart. Tempo owns a percentage of the rights to Mars' song. The singer himself and his co-writers are not named as plaintiffs in the lawsuit.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox have dropped four of their last five games after falling to the Tampa Bay Rays 8-3 in their series opener at Tropicana Field. Another game tonight, first pitch at 6:50. Patriots visit the New York Jets on Thursday night. We'll carry that game for you right here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Some early morning patchy fog giving way to a blend of sun and clouds. It's going to be warm and muggy with a high near 75. For tonight, looking for a redevelopment of that fog and a chance of showers developing as soon as we hit this evening. Look for an overnight low near 62. And for Thursday, cloudy with showers, patches of fog, still muggy with a high closer to 70. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Searching for light in the darkness of insanity.
And welcome back in. So the fog is starting to burn off a little bit here. And you can see pretty clearly right now out the window here at WBSM. Yesterday at this time, that was not the case. Yesterday at this time, it was still a thick fog. It was very dark. It was just as cloudy as it is now. But it was just very dark because of that thick fog. And there are still, just because I can see fine out the window here, there are still plenty of areas around the South Coast this morning and on the Cape where there's going to be dangerously thick fog. So keep that in mind as you're heading out. But yesterday, there was a woman who captured something very odd on her security camera outside of her home. And people send me videos that they see online of security footage, and they're like, hey, what is this? Is this a ghost? So, you know, people always send me weird things. And so I saw this going around and assumed it was something somebody had sent me, but it turns out I was just going through my feed and it had popped up. And by the way, most of the time when people send me their security camera footage from outside or whatever, and they say, what is this? It's so weird. Look at how it moves and look at what it does. Usually it's a bug. In fact, the other day there was one that somebody was like ready to move and sell their home over. And I'm like, that's a spider. You can see it crawling and you can see the little piece of its web over in the corner. The spider is spinning a web. It's okay. You might just want to grab the broom and brush him off your security camera. But this one really bugged me out for a moment. Pun intended. Because when I looked at it, I said, what is that? You see what looks like, really, it looks like snow. It looks like a blizzard. And I said, is that a swarm of bugs? Like, what could that be? Couldn't have been snow. It was 65 degrees Tuesday morning. So I reached out to the person and I said, you know, can I share this on WBSM and what do you think was going on? And what it was, well, should I ruin it for you? Should I spoil it for you? Because I want you to go check out the video for yourself at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, but I'll tell you what it was. It was moisture in the air from the fog. The fog was so thick and so dense and the moisture so dense that it was, you know, the droplets that was in the fog was swirling around, which is interesting because it wasn't windy. But you would think by looking at this video that it was hurricane force winds. And the property owner's boyfriend comes out, gets into his car to go to work, and you know, you can tell he's not affected by whatever is going on. So a very interesting video, and I never knew that. I never knew that fog was going to show up on a camera like that. Looking that way, I just assumed fog, if it showed up on the camera, would just block out the view, make the view cloudy and hazy. But maybe the infrared capabilities of the camera combined with the floodlight from when the boyfriend came out to it kind of hit everything just right. And you see what looks like a September 17th blizzard in Buzzards Bay. And I know we get some weird weather sometimes, but that would be just a little bit too weird for me. I'm not ready to shovel yet in the middle of September. But check out that video for yourself. You can see it on the website, on the app. And if you ever get anything strange like that on your security camera, send it my way, tim@wbsm.com. If you're not sure what it is, I've seen so many of these over the years with people thinking it's paranormal activity. I can probably take a look at it and say, well, I can tell by this that it's this. And most often it's bugs, especially if it's an outdoor camera or one that you have like up in a corner. On my cameras, I have the motion alert set so that it alerts me if like something passes by the camera and sets it off. And one day, it kept going off. And I was like, well, what's going on? Like, do I have to go home? Is somebody in my house? Because I have cameras that cover every inch of the house, pretty much. So that if I can't see it on one camera, I switch to the other camera and I should be able to see it. Not that I'm like super nervous about security or anything. It's from when I had a dog and this is how I would keep her off the furniture. I would just hit the button and talk over the camera and say, Ruby, get down. She'd look around like, what? I didn't know that you could see me. But the camera kept going off with a motion detection and I couldn't figure out what it was. So finally, when I got home, I took a look in there and there was a spider. There was a spider that kept moving across in front of the camera sensor and it was big and big enough that it was setting off the motion sensor and alerting me to motion. So that stuff does happen. It's more likely to be something like that than it is to be anything anomalous that we can't explain. But still, to see this weird weather phenomenon was pretty cool. 508-996-0500. App chat is open on the WBSM app, as well as open line voicemails if you want to send one of those. We still have two contests going on this week, in addition to the ability to win our Money Talks contest and be entered to win $30,000. We're also giving away tickets to two different things this week. Vampire Weekend at TD Garden and Eddie Izzard at the Vets in Providence. And if you want to win tickets to either one of those, just go to WBSM.com or the app. Put your information in on the article about those contests and you could be a winner. The Vampire Weekend tickets will be virtual, so we can send those to you directly. The Eddie Izzard tickets will be physical, so you'll have to be able to pick them up here at our Fairhaven studio. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Yeah, hi. Tim, do you do that money contest every hour or just some hours?
Every hour beginning at 8 a.m., so between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Oh, so it's every hour you do some number.
Yep. First code is at 8 a.m. Last code is at 5 p.m. And it's a different code every hour.
Well, yesterday at 9 a.m. till 10, Chris never said a number. I had the phone right with me, next to me, and he never mentioned a number.
I went back and saw that it did play. So it's a recording. So it did play.
Oh, I didn't hear it then.
Anyway, yeah, it might have been you might. Were you on the app or were you on the radio?
The app.
Okay, so yeah, maybe there was a little delay in the app.
I was listening to the radio, but I had the phone ready to play. I got your 8 o'clock one. I think it was 7:38.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. Anyway,
you might have just missed. Sometimes Chris takes that break a little bit earlier, so people are like looking at the clock and trying to get the code that way. Chris will sometimes take that first break a little bit earlier so that he can have more time to talk to a guest or more time to take a call. So he has a tendency to play that earlier. So I'll just say that for anybody that's listening and trying to go by the clock and say, well, they usually take a break at this time. Chris will throw you off on that.
Okay. Yeah. Weather has some strange phenomena. That fog, was that on a porch or was there lighting involved? It looked like there was some kind of type of lighting involved with that.
Yeah,
fog.
I believe there's a floodlight over the camera, and so that's why you're seeing it kind of illuminated.
I've seen that before. And what time of the day was that?
That was at 5:44 in the morning.
Yeah. See, in the morning, the air becomes super cooled. Not necessarily super cooled in the summertime, but the radiational cooling of the morning time, it actually in the winter, that would be called hoar ice. That hoar ice would have formed with that type of precipitation of fog-like particle, droplet particles. And so that is that's very rare. That's a rare phenomenon.
Well, it was pretty cool that they caught it on camera and that we were able to share it out with the audience.
Absolutely. And have you ever heard of whore ice?
I have not. No, that's a new one to me.
It's not like a bad woman. It's not spelled like H-O-A-R ice. And that water droplets that are super cool early in the morning that will precipitate on vegetation because of the radiation cooling.
Oh, I've probably seen it. I've never heard the term before, but I definitely have seen that before. Yeah,
you're gonna get dew ice, but it's different. It's different, and it's kind of rare. It happens usually when there's snow cover on the ground and there's radiational cooling on a clear, silent night with no wind, and you're going to get that radiational cooling.
Oh, well, thank you for the information.
All right. Tim, bye-bye.
Have a good day. Let's take another call here, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Good. I was listening to the site that you sent me, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that I looked at on the page, I think yours was right first in line. So I started to listen to that. And then I heard where you were talking about your parents disappeared from the tent, right?
Yes.
And then you went to go look for them, yeah, and then you came across some people, and then you went back and they were there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then something else happened? You wandered down the street to a house somewhere?
I swear that I woke up one day, I was in a different neighborhood, and my parents say that never happened.
Okay, but you were at home at the time when you left your house, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned something that had happened to me that I don't understand to this day, never will. It happened about 8 years ago. Every year I go to the cemetery. Honor my grandmother on the day that she passed. And so I had gone to Sacred Heart Cemetery, and I walk around there a lot. But I've been going there for almost 30 years now, and I can go there blindfolded and find it. I know exactly where it is. Drive your car down the road. It's like kind of a hill when you're going. I don't know if you've been there. You go down the hill, and I park. I always stop when I see the first headstone in her row. It's the name of a man. So the minute I drive down, I see that, I stop, and I don't even have to look at it. Now I know the row. So I had flowers that day. When usually my granddaughter goes with me, but she couldn't come that one time because she's the one that gets on the ground and digs up, you know, so I can put the flowers in because I have a hard time getting up.
Mm-hmm.
So this time I was by myself, and it was like a foggy day like it is right now if you look out the window. I carried those flowers out of my car, walked across the row. She was about 10 or 12 stones down that row. And I went down there, couldn't find it. The stone was just not there, which is impossible, of course. But I kept looking and looking and looking. I said, well, if the stone wasn't here, if the stone's missing, there would be some kind of indent in the ground that the dirt would have been disturbed, like if somebody had just took it out of there.
Right.
And it was nothing. The stones were in the row. Everything was in order. Other people were there. They were putting flowers nearby me. And I was so frustrated. I said, there's no way I'm not going to plant these flowers. I came here to do this, and I'm not leaving. I got so bad, back and forth, walking across that row over and over and over. The tears were coming to my eyes. It wasn't a full-blown crying yet, but the tears were coming. I said, how can this be? I've been coming here almost 30 years. And so I had to give up because it was already starting to rain. I said, I'm going to have to come back another time. So I finally gave in, and I was carrying the pot of flowers with me back to my car. And I know I mentioned this once before. It was a while back. I don't know if you remember, but I said, dear God, how could this happen? You know I want to put these flowers. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of the blue, my head twisted, my neck twisted with a big force. It was strong enough, and I had no pain whatsoever, no pain. But the force was strong enough that I should have just dropped dead to the ground. It should have snapped my neck. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
And as soon as my head got twisted like that, my eyes went straight. That was the only thing I saw. My eyes went straight to her stone. I saw her name. I was stunned. I said, how can that be? How can that be? And I walked right back, and there she was. Like, how could I possibly miss that? I finally got the flowers in there. I walked in. At that point, I was crying. I said, I don't understand what happened. Now, we don't know why these odd things happen to us. I could never explain that until today. It still bothers me. That whole day when I went home, that's all I could think about all that day. And the only thing that I could think of was I was praying an awful lot at that time, praying to God, because within a three-year period, my grandmother had passed. The following year was my dad. I was praying every day, every day. And then my sister passed away right after my father. 3 years in a row, it was the worst 3 years of my life. Three like that so quickly. And I had been praying a lot because that when my grandmother died, my father was very sick. So I was praying and praying and praying. Then he passed away praying again all day long for my sister. And I said, maybe, because, you know, if you believe in God, you got to believe there's a devil somewhere and he has powers. And I'm figuring maybe he wasn't going to let me. He knew I was praying a lot. He was going to hit me with something bad on that day. And I believe maybe he stopped me from finding my grandmother. But at the end, when I was walking away and praying to God, please, you know, I need to put these flowers. This is the first time in 30 years I'm not going to be able to do this. And I don't know, but I believe it had to be the force of God to snap my neck without no pain. And I should have died. Mm-hmm. I should have died on the spot where I was. So how do we explain it other than that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll tell you something, you know, not as intense as that, but one of my favorite cemeteries to walk through is Burial Hill in Plymouth. And I've been there tons of times. I know it like the back of my hand. And one time we went up there, and it was at night, but we went up there for, you know, to bring some people up there who had never been there before. And Stephanie and I were both up there, and it was like we immediately got lost. We could not find our way around the cemetery, and then we couldn't find our way out. We were stuck because it's on top of a hill, so there's a couple of staircases that you use to get up to it, and we could not find the way out. We could not find those staircases. We're like walking around like, where are we? What is this? What's going on? And we're like yelling for our friend who's down at the bottom, like, hey, come up here and get us, but he didn't hear us.
Frightening, huh?
Yeah.
Like, what in the world? So how did you get out?
It only lasted a few moments. After about 10 minutes, we were able to, you know, we're standing around being like, this is so weird. And I was like, okay, let's go to the monument for the folks who died on the Benedict Arnold. Let's go over to that. And then, you know, we can kind of orientate ourselves there. And then after, I think, about 10 minutes, our friend Jeff walked up and was like, what are you guys doing up here? So,
but you see, you had what's the name? You had Stephanie with you, so you had actually had a witness. I was by myself; nobody believes me. You had her there.
Well, I believe you.
You know, verify your story.
I believe you.
I thank you, and I'll tell you, I have not been back there on a foggy day like this ever again. I always make sure I go now when it's a good day because you can choose your day, you know?
Yeah. Well,
never again did I ever do that on a day like this. I don't know why, but that stuck with me. So.
No, it's a better plan. All right. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break.
Have a good day.
You as well.
Have a good day.
And by the way, the podcast Mary was referencing there is the Big Truth Podcast. It's, I don't think you'll mind me promoting it. It's put on by the owner of the Dipper Cafe in New Bedford. And he talks about paranormal stuff, but also motorcycles and punk rock and conspiracies and everything. And I thought Mary would enjoy it because it's good conversation. And so I gave her the link. And yes, the first one that you see is mine, but he's dropping a new one today. So with a guest we're going to have next week, Michael Olago, who is coming to New Bedford to sign copies of his book at Purchase Street Records. He is the record executive who signed Metallica and White Zombie and so many other bands. So he's going to join us next week to talk about that. But right now, I've got to take this break. We will be right back. Great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.